word of God from 1 Corinthians 13, the entire chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecy, it will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but I shall know and be understood as I am understood fully. So faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. May God bless unto us this reading from His holy word. Glory and majesty, dominion and power be given to His name now and forevermore. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Though they were sisters, Alice and Mildred despised each other. For 38 years, they kept up a feud, a bitter personal war. On Mildred's 70th birthday, Alice, who was 75, felt a pang of remorse. But it passed. Later, when she heard that her sister Mildred was ill, she felt compelled to visit. From her sickbed, Mildred looked sternly at her hated sister. At last, she said in a faint voice, "The doctors say I'm seriously ill. I might die, Alice. If I pass away, I want you to know that you are forgiven. But if I pull through this, things stay as they are." What is hate? According to my dictionary, hate is to dislike greatly, to have a great or extreme aversion to detest, to have strong ill will for, to abhor, to loathe, or abominate. That is hate. But to understand what hate is, you and I don't need a dictionary, do we? We all have experienced hate firsthand. We've all felt a great dislike or loathing or aversion to something or someone. Hate comes with the human condition, and it permeates all levels of society and all sorts of social and national groups. Do Arabs hate Jews? Do Jews hate Nazis? Do Nazis hate communists? Do communists hate capitalists? Do jihadi terrorists hate all Americans? Does the Ku Klux Klan hate blacks? Do environmentalists hate exploiters of natural resources? Do criminals hate the police? Does a husband despise his successful and condescending brother-in-law? Does a woman hate her abusive husband? Does a child hate 3 hours of meaningless homework day after day? Do the followers of Lance Armstrong, the famous bicyclist, now hate him for his years of lies and deception about his use of performance drugs? Antipathy and dislike know no boundaries. Yes, we all know what hate is. But what about love? Do we really know what love is? Listen to this story and you tell me. A rabbi came to a city where little Mordecai was growing up. His father, a rather severe man, brought Mordecai to the visiting rabbi and complained that the child did not persevere in his studies. The rabbi said, "Leave the boy with me just for a while." When he was alone with the child, he took him to his heart silently, holding him until his father returned. "I have given him a good talking to," said the rabbi. "He will be persevering in his studies from now on." When the boy was a grown man, he told of this incident and added, "That was when I learned what love really was. And love changed me." Love, love. The world needs love. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us how to love. "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone forces you to walk with him 1 mile, gladly walk with him too. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, offer him your overcoat as well. Pray for those who persecute you. Love those who are your enemies." Lofty sentiments, we say. Jesus is expressing high ideals and magnificent moral values. But in the world we live, in the day-to-day mundane sphere where we operate, how totally impractical his words are. If followed consistently, they would result in self-destruction. Only a fool would open himself to abuse from others. We need to defend ourselves, to preserve the little we have. This is a harsh world, a dog-eat-dog environment we live in. Ultimately, there's no one to take care of us but we ourselves. The world needs love. Joseph Bruheck tells the story of an old man who lived long ago with his adult son and wife. But the son grew tired of taking care of the old man, who was too weak to work. The son called his 8-year-old boy and said, "Take your grandfather. Take him out into the woods and then leave him there." The boy then picked up a blanket to put around his grandfather's shoulders and gently led him into the forest, just as he was told by his father. But before he left his grandfather, he took the blanket and he tore it in half, putting the blanket again on his grandfather's shoulders. Half of it he took home with him. And when the boy came back to the house, the father saw the other half of the blanket and asked, "Why did you bring back half of the blanket?" The boy replied, "When you get old, I'll wrap this half around you when I leave you in the forest." The father thought deeply and hard. And then he said to the boy, "Son, I want you to go back into the forest and bring your grandfather home." Love has to begin somewhere. If not in our midst, then where? If not with you and me, then with whom? If not today, right now as we worship, then when? You and I are called to set an example for the world, not to let the world force us into its mold. We are to be kind, to show compassion and gentleness toward others. We are called to have a heart of love. And that's what Jesus had, a heart of love. He not only preached love, he showed it and he lived it. He had compassion on the woman who was going to be stoned for adultery. He mixed with sinners, asking them to repent of their sin. He healed lepers, made the blind to see, helped the lame to walk. Our Lord was no hypocrite. What he said, he did. He prayed for those who persecuted him. He loved those who hated him. He gave his back to the smiters and his cheeks to those who plucked out the hair. The soldiers robbed him of his clothes. People spit on him, mocked him, and called him names. Jesus accepted their abuse, and on the cross he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Was he impractical? Was he foolish, self-destructive? Friends, the world needs love. The world is thirsting for kindness, compassion, gentleness. The whole world is in need. Your world and my world. Love must begin somewhere. We all need a heart of love. The Reverend James Harnish of Tampa, Florida, tells the story of a woman who was released from Tampa General Hospital several months earlier. She had been diagnosed with severe cardiomyopathy, a rare heart disorder which causes the muscles of the heart to become rigid. There is no known cure for this condition except a heart transplant. For 5 months, she became progressively weaker. Always an active woman, she continued to decline until there wasn't much left that she could do. Then, one morning at 2 a.m., she was awakened and told that a new heart was on its way. By 4 a.m., the heart was in place. And by 10 a.m., she was out of surgery and in ICU. When Reverend Harnash visited her a couple of days later, they talked about the gift of a new heart. The patient said, "You know, Pastor, this is the second time someone has died for me." The world needs love. That is what Christ has brought to us. He has loved us so much that he died for us. And that is why you and I can now have a new Christ-filled heart. A heart of love right now, right where we are, for those we already know. Even for our enemies. The poet John Richard Moreland proclaims, "There is only one king who has shed his blood, the fairest of 10,000, bearing hate's awful flood. His banner is love, and printed thereon a scourge, a cross, a crown of thorns. His reign forever humanity shall laud. The King of heaven, the Son of God. Let us pray. Amazing God, whose love is wonderfully strong, we thank you for your Word made flesh, who came to dwell among us full of grace and truth, who gave his life for us upon a cross, so that we might live, so that we too might love. In his name we pray. Amen.